Evening. It's time to get started this morning, or this evening. If I could, before we get started, get a few guys up here to help with the offering. You don't care. They're mostly good looking men. Sorry, bud. Brother Ted, would you care to bless the offering tonight, please, sir? Let's try this again. Good evening. Come on, don't get quiet on us now. The preacher's bringing a word for you tonight. Amen. If we want to go ahead and stand up and get ready to welcome in the presence of the Lord with the singers, so yeah, go ahead and stand up. Come on. Let's get excited tonight. I know we're few in number tonight, but we all know that we're two or three are gathered. He's there in the midst. Amen. Amen. Let's get ready tonight and worship the Lord and pray that everybody will get a blessing tonight. Amen? Amen. 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 Turn it over to Sister.
I've got joy in the struggle. I've got peace in the storm. I've got strength in the battle. I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, my hope is secure. Well, I've got joy cause I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. He bore all of my burdens, my debt has been paid. Then he said to my dry bones, rise up out of that grave. He is all of my worship, all the honor and praise. Well, I've got joy because I've got Jesus. Oh, he gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. Joy like a joy all around me, everywhere I go. Even in the desert, still it overflows. Oh, I've got joy, yeah, I've got joy never ending, cause he called my name. Every breath I breathe, a testament of amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah. Everything has changed. Oh, I've got joy. Yeah, I've got joy. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go. Even in the desert, still it overflows. I've got Jesus, so glad I have him. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy.
Is he worthy? home. Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scrolls? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he would save the truth and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe, every nation and
He's the sweetest name I know. I've got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. Oh, I've got joy like a fountain, joy like a fountain, joy like a fountain in my soul.
You always do it somehow. Good evening, everybody. Isn't he good, y'all? Isn't he good in this house tonight? Hallelujah. Listen, I just want to tell you all how much that I've enjoyed myself here. I have thoroughly enjoyed being with you all. I love each and every one of you all. I've had such a wonderful time in God's presence here. And I just wanted to thank all of you for being so welcoming. And I pray that some of the messages this week have touched your life. I do believe I have a message from the Lord tonight. But the first thing I want to do is I want to back up for a minute and revisit the theme that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart for this revival. And that theme is real repentance, real revival. And the scripture that I feel like God laid on my heart is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Does anybody believe that we need our sin forgiven? Does anybody believe that we need our land healed? Amen. Hallelujah. So real repentance, real revival. But so far in this revival, you've heard about the shelter that is available to you through Christ. You've heard about how we're to reign in Christ and not retreat. You've heard about the mighty power that Jesus has to change any situation. And tonight I'd like to speak to you about the sincerity of God's love. Sincerity of God's love. I would that you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 23 and 32. Verses 23 and 32, Ezekiel 18. And the Holy Word of God says, God speaking to us, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord God, but rather that he should turn from his ways and live?" And then in the 32nd verse, the Bible says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, saith the Lord God. Therefore repent and live." I would that you would remain standing with me just for a moment as I open up this service. There are many distorted portraits of God that are being painted today. Some picture him wrongly as a harsh judge, cold and quick to punish. Others imagine him as a sentimental grandfather, smiling passively while sin destroys his creation. But both of those pictures are lies. The God of the Bible, the real, living, holy God, is neither disinterested nor harsh. Yes, he is righteous. Yes, he is just. Yes, he will judge sin. But before he ever sends judgment, he warns from the place of love. In our text tonight, we are given a window into the very heart of God. Not the opinions of a theologian, not the lyrics of a poet, but the voice of God himself. He asks, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" And then he answers, "No, I want them to turn and live." See, these aren't cold commands, but this is the caring cry of a loving father. Let those words hit you not only as doctrine, but as a divine cry from the Creator calling to his creation. This is not a God who is eager to condemn. This is not a God who takes satisfaction in destruction. But this is a God who takes no pleasure in the perishing of the people that he created. See, he created you to know him, to walk with him, to be alive in him. But sin drives a wedge. And instead of running back to the Father, humanity runs away. And I want you to hear this. Every step away from God is a step towards judgment. Yet he still calls out, "Repent, live, please turn back, please come home and let me change your life." This is the same heart we see in Jesus standing over Jerusalem weeping in Luke 19 saying, "If you, even you, had known even today what things would bring you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." He knew the cross was ahead, and yet he wept for those who were blind to his love. See, church, he is holy, and because he is holy, he must judge sin. But he is also loving. And because he is love, he has no pleasure in judgment. The sorrow of God is not a weakness, but it is proof of his desire to redeem each and every one of you. His tears are not a sign of indecision. Rather, they are evidence of his great compassion. So today, before we talk about judgment, before we talk about wrath, let's talk about the God whose greatest desire is to save you and to change your life in this place tonight. Because if you could feel what he feels, if you've read what he's written, you'd know that his greatest desire is not to punish you, but to forgive you. Not to sentence you, but to save you. Amen? Amen. To bring you out of that stuff that you think you're stuck in. Every time you thought God was done with you, I got to tell you tonight, he wasn't. Every time you thought he was angry beyond repair, oh, hear me, somebody, his heart was grieving. Not because you failed, but because you were far from him. And if you still choose to walk away, you don't walk away from a cruel judge. You walk away from a loving Savior. So let's open our hearts for a few moments to the sincerity of a saving God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is a saving God. I would that you would pray for me and with me. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we just thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your word, God. Lord, we thank you that your greatest desire is to save us, God. Your greatest desire is to forgive us of our sins, God. Lord, so much that you gave us your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, I ask you to speak to your people through this message tonight. I ask you to speak to your people through the word that is spoken in this place tonight, God. I pray, God, that you empower me to deliver your word the way that you would have it delivered, God. And I pray, God, that you touch the hearts and the minds of the hearers, Lord, that they would receive what you have for them in this place tonight. I thank you for what you've done, Lord, and I thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So why does God experience grieving? He mourns because he loves with a love that will not let go. A love that burns brighter than judgment and reaches deeper than any sin. A love that doesn't even stop when it's rejected. A love that stretches out nail-scarred hands and cries, "Turn back, you don't have to go that way." See, he mourns because he sees the end of the road we're on if we don't know him. And it's his love that fuels his concern. He tells us in Jeremiah 31:3, he says, "Indeed, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Notice, it's not temporary. It's not transactional. It's not based on performance, amen? But it's everlasting. It's unfailing. It's undeserved. And it's unrelenting. And that love does something divine before judgment comes. It warns. He sees the sin that deceives us, the destruction that awaits. He sees the cross he provided and the souls who still walk away. He sees what could have been, and he sees what still could be. Amen? And his heart is stirred with divine concern, not to condemn us, but to call us home. A love that warns, a love that pleads, a love that still believes there's hope for your return. That brings us to the first expression of this concern-filled love. God's love is found in his warnings. See, God's love is active, protective, concerned. It's the kind of love that sees what's coming and says, "I can't let you keep going like this." C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Love is something more stern and splendid than mere kindness." And he's right. Kindness may stay quiet to avoid offense, but love raises its voice when destruction comes near. And I believe that God is warning some of you right now. Maybe you've been ignoring the signs. Maybe you've been suppressing the conviction. You've been walking toward a cliff with your earbuds in, trying to drown out the voice of mercy. But here he is again, calling you. Pleading with you, warning you, not to scare you, but to spare you. Amen? Because God's love is not found in silence. It's found in the urgency of his concern. And let's get real for a moment. If you love somebody, you warn them. Amen? Think about it. If your child was playing in the street, got a little too close to the road, and you saw an 18-wheeler coming that way, what would you do? You wouldn't just whisper. You wouldn't just say, be careful, son. Be careful, daughter. You wouldn't stand back silently and hope they figure it out. You'd shout. You'd run. You'd scream their name. You'd do whatever it took because you love them. And that's what God is doing in the opening text. That's what he's doing all throughout his word, hallelujah. And that's what he's doing tonight through this preacher, hallelujah. He says, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Repent and turn from your transgressions. Why will you die? A loving God saying, you don't see what I see. And I can't let you go without warning you. Why? Because like I said, real love doesn't just feel something. Real love does something. Amen. And I believe that it's not by happenstance that you're all here tonight. I believe that this is a message for somebody in this room tonight. And I want you to know that this is not just another sermon, but it's a warning straight from the heart of a God who cares too much to stay silent. He sends warnings because he wants us to wake up. He wants to stop us before we go any further down a path that leads to destruction. The word, the conviction, the uneasiness you may feel, it's not there to condemn you, but it's there to rescue you. Does everybody understand that? Conviction, when we feel that uneasiness, when we feel that pressure, I touched on it last night, but there are some here tonight that weren't here last night, I believe. That is actually God reaching out through his spirit saying, I love you, and I want to change your life in this place tonight. See, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation says you messed up and you're a bum. But conviction says you messed up and here's the way out. Hallelujah. Amen. And every prophet he sent, every preacher who stood behind a pulpit, every friend who shared the gospel with you, every stirring in your conscience, every random Bible verse that came across your screen, that wasn't coincidence, but that was concern, love, trying to reach you. And I want you to understand this. He's not trying to ruin your fun. He's trying to save your soul. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That's why God warns you. Because sin feels right until it kills you. And God loves you way too much to let you die without every possible opportunity to live. So if there's somebody in here right now that God is warning, maybe you've been coming to church and you've been feeling that conviction, but you've just been resisting the draw of the Holy Spirit, don't harden your heart any longer. Don't brush it off and think you've got more time. The unforgiveness you may have been carrying, that secret sin that you've been successful in hiding behind as you wear your Sunday outfit, it is time to deal with it. Jesus told him in Matthew 23, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but were within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. In other words, on the outside, they had been bleached. They were real shiny. But does everybody understand that's not what matters? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Amen? But whatever it is, here's the good news. If God is dealing with somebody tonight, you can give it to God tonight. See, God's love is found in his warning. He sees everything and he says, let me change your life. Next, God's love is found in his patience. He waits. He's holy. He's righteous. He has every reason to just judge us and be done with it. But instead, he waits. He demonstrates patience. He gives time. He gives space. He gives opportunity. Why? Because his love is patient. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. But instead, he is patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. See, God has waited for you, because he wants a relationship with you so bad. Some of you may be under the sound of my voice and say, "Brother, I've messed up too bad. I've done too much wrong. I'm too far gone." Like your story is too dirty or too broken to ever make it back. But here's the truth, and I need some of the saints of God to praise the Lord here tonight, that nobody is too far gone for the blood of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. All sin. See, you can turn to him today in fullness and in truth, and he will cleanse you in his place. He still loves you, and he still wants to save you. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:38-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I don't know what you've been into, but I'm here to tell you tonight that there is nothing that you could have done in your whole life that has separated you from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's love. Not your sin, not your failure, not your addiction, not your shame, not your years of running, not your years of pretending. I felt that, somebody. Nothing can separate you, and I mean nothing, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I think somebody needs to hear this in this place tonight. He hasn't given up on you. He's not sick of you. He's ready to cast your sin into the depths of the sea. He's waiting with open arms, and that's what his patience is all about. But hear me tonight. Patience is not permission. Just because God is patient doesn't mean we should play games with his grace. His patience is meant to lead us to repentance, not to keep us comfortable in rebellion. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 2:4, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, tolerance, and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" But patience does run out. Not because he wants it to, but because we keep choosing the path that leads to death. So tonight I urge you, don't take his patience for granted. Don't waste his waiting, but take advantage of the open door tonight. See, you may have wandered far, but he's still here for you. You may have rejected him over and over again, but he's still here for you. You may be sitting in church with things in your life that no one knows, but God knows, and he's still here for you. Amen? Why? Because love is patient, and because you matter to him. Amen. He says, "Come to me," hallelujah. So let me ask you, if you know he's been patient with you, if you know he's been waiting, then why keep running? Now is the time to lay it all down. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come now while the door is still open, before the day of decision is over. Amen? But let's be honest. Not only has the world drifted, but the church has compromised. We've grown comfortable. We've become casual with the very things that Jesus died to set us free from. We talk about the love of God, but we stay silent about His requirement of holiness. We preach comfort, but we don't preach the cross. We sing about freedom, but we don't confront the sin that keeps us bound. We've made grace cheap. We've made repentance optional. And in the name of being relevant, watch this. In the name of being relevant, we've lost our reverence. See, church, we've used this patience as permission. I feel something stirring now. God's patience was never meant to make us soft on sin. It was meant to give us time to get serious about His purpose. It was meant to show us that He loves us even in the middle of our mess. Come on, somebody. But hear me on this. Time will eventually run out. And we all know about the uncertainty of our time. But instead of running to Him in humility, much of the modern church has drifted into compromise without conviction, entertainment instead of holiness, performance instead of prayer, and programs instead of power. Come on, somebody. And we wonder why there's no revival in our churches. We wonder why there's no fire in our altars. We wonder why there's no repentance in our pews. The Bible tells us that judgment must first begin in the house of God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? See, before we point fingers at the world, we need to take a look in the mirror. Because how in the world are we supposed to lead the world to Christ if we ourselves are living as double-minded people? How can we warn the world of judgment if we ourselves are playing games with grace? See, this moment is not just a call to the lost. It's a wake-up call to the church. Does everybody know that Jesus is not coming back for a lukewarm bride? But He's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. He's coming back for a church that's covered in Jesus' blood. That's washed in the blood, not covered in compromise. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to hear me. God is patient. He is. Thank God that He is. I don't stand before you as a man who never made mistakes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I'm so thankful for His mercy and His patience and His grace, because without it we'd have no hope. So He is patient. But don't mistake His patience for approval. He's calling the church back to the cross, back to truth, back to holiness, and back to Him. Hallelujah. But the good news is that even in our failure, even in our compromise, God has made a way back for us. Amen. And does everybody know that that way back that He made for us is where His love shines the brightest? Because lastly, God's love is also found in His provision. And God's greatest provision is the forgiveness, transformation, and new life that's found in the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's bring it all together. God didn't just warn you. He didn't just wait for you, but He also made a way for you. Amen? He didn't leave you in your sin. He didn't abandon you to your guilt. He didn't sit back and let you drown in the consequences of your choices. No, but God provided a rescue, hallelujah. And that rescue has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. Brother, if you would give me a little music. We're almost done. We've made it to my first close. There's five more. Somebody was happy for a second until I said that. To truly understand God's love, you have to look at the cross. The cross wasn't just a moment in history. It was the moment that changed eternity. On that hill outside Jerusalem, on a wooden beam soaked in the blood of criminals, God's greatest act of love was displayed for the world to see. But don't clean it up. Don't sanitize it with jewelry or tradition. It was brutal. It was bloody. This was love at its most costly. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that the full weight of my sin and the full weight of your sin came upon Him who knew no sin. I feel the Lord. See, the wrath of God that we deserved fell on Jesus so that the mercy of God could fall on us. The cross was the greatest transaction in human history. All of the sin of the world, every lie, every act of hatred, every secret addiction, every perversion, every crime, every failure was laid on Him. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." See, the cross proves once and for all that Jesus would rather die for you than to live without you. Amen? Who am I preaching to in this place? Why? Because God loves you that much. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. We had no way out. We had no hope. Hallelujah. But He loved you, and He said, "You're worth it." And He said, "I'll take it upon myself." Hallelujah. If I can set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it time we give all for Him? He said, "You're worth it." He said, "No man takes my life, but my life I lay down for the sheep." He said, "You're worth it." Isn't it time that we say He's worth it? See, because of the cross, you can be forgiven, a clean slate right now. You can be justified just as though you've never sinned. Hallelujah. You can be made new, a brand new creation, born again with a brand new future and a brand new purpose. Hallelujah. And you can be delivered from whatever it may be. Maybe it's addiction, unforgiveness, lust, or some other kind of secret sin that you've been dealing with. I'm telling you, He came to set the captive free. The Bible said that He led captivity captive. Hallelujah. If you're in captivity, it's a choice. Choose Christ tonight. Let Him set your life free in this place tonight. I promise you, He'll do it. Oh, I think in Revelation, when we see this scene of the King, His return at Armageddon, we look down and we see on His thigh, "Faithful and True." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He didn't leave you behind at the cross. He'll not leave you behind tonight. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ," any man, any woman, hallelujah, be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus didn't just lay his life down to forgive you. He died to transform you. And I want you to understand this. Watch this. The gospel isn't just to get you into heaven one day, but it's to get heaven into you today. Amen. You tired of the way your life's been going? You tired of all the stuff you've been dealing with? You tired about waking up and going through the same motions every day, the same struggles? I'm telling you, get real with yourself and get real with God and watch Him change your life. So you don't have to live bound anymore. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to carry that guilt and that shame. You don't have to fake it through another Sunday. You can leave any and all of this behind at this altar tonight. I'm telling you, He'll meet you at the altar. All throughout the gospel, we see Jesus meet people where they are. I think sometimes we get this misconception we got to clean ourselves up before we come to Christ. I'm here to tell you tonight that you can't clean yourself up. You have to make your mind up. And you have to believe it. And you have to step in faith. My goodness. See, Jesus paid it all so that you could be made whole. And it was paid in blood. Every stripe on His back was buying your healing. Every drop of blood was securing your redemption. Every breath He struggled to take was giving you the opportunity to live again. See, He saw what was coming for us. He saw the judgment that we had earned. He saw the separation, the debt that we couldn't pay. And in mercy, He stepped in and said, "I'll take it. Let it fall on me." And the Bible says in John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. Turn loose of the struggle tonight. It's finished. It's finished in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way in this place. I pray conviction down in this house right now in the name of Jesus. God, I just ask you to touch right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. See, when He said it is finished, the perfect plan of salvation was completed. Death, hell, and the grave defeated. That stuff that you feel like you're tangled up in, defeated. Your past, defeated. Depression, defeated. Anxiety, defeated. Hallelujah. Shame, under the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. There's freedom in this house for you tonight. See, faith, though, faith is not just a mental agreement. It's not just believing that Jesus existed. It's not just saying, "I believe in God," and moving on like nothing's changed. We're good at professing Christ with our lips, but the cross demands that we profess Him with our lives. See, real faith responds with real surrender. Grace is the open door, but faith is walking through it. Amen. And repentance is the turn of your heart that says, "I'm done doing it my way. I'm ready to do it God's way." And does anybody in here know that God's way is the only way? Hallelujah. We can't make up our own way. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life." Hallelujah. We must repent and go His way. Hallelujah. So what is repentance? Repentance is more than saying, "I'm sorry." It means turning around. It means breaking up with your sin. It means letting go of the things that nailed Jesus to the cross. And it's not a one-time prayer, I want you to understand this, but it's a lifetime of surrender. Hallelujah. It means making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. When we make that decision and we take that step in faith, I promise you everything changes. I promise you. I speak from a testimony, amen? Do I have any saints of God in the house that speak from testimony, amen? Hallelujah! Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Have you made Him Lord and Master? You can tonight. I believe that God sent me here with this message to open somebody's eyes. And I just, if that's you, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your opportunity. As I close, I think of the prodigal son. Everybody familiar with the prodigal son? I touched on this last night, but I didn't go deep. See, he decided to walk away from the father and go do life his way. After some time, he found himself broke, without purpose, empty, and ashamed. Been there. Anybody been there? And he was literally in the pig pen of life. He was as far away. He was in the furthest mess that a Jewish boy could be in. But I thank God that the Bible says that he came to himself and he stood up. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pick it up in Luke 15, verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh God. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Hallelujah. See, I don't care how far you may have walked away. I don't care what kind of mistakes you may have made. His greatest desire is that you come back home. Well, preacher, I can't go back home. I've gotten myself mixed up and stuck in this life. I don't care how far down in the mud you've gotten. I don't care how far into the pig pen you've went. If you just stand up, dust yourself off, and return home, hallelujah, the Father is waiting for you today, hallelujah. And I'm telling you something else. That story that we just read, that can be your story tonight in this place. Amen? So here it is. Now it's on you. Will you keep walking the road that leads to death? Or will you surrender everything and follow the one who gave everything for you? I want you to understand one thing as I close. This is not just another sermon, but this is a summons. Amen? And if God is speaking to you right now, you may never get another moment like this. He's not asking for part of you. He's asking for all of you. He's not waiting for perfect people. He's calling the willing, the ones that will take that step in faith. So if you're ready to turn from your sin, if you're ready to put your faith in Jesus, if you're ready to make Him Lord and Master of your life, if you're ready to step into that real relationship with Him, then today is your day. Hallelujah. Lay it down and leave it behind in this place today, because His greatest desire is to fellowship with you, to lead you out of the traps in your life. He said He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly, and He will transform your life in this place tonight, if you'll let Him. He's still the God who heals. He's still the God who delivers. And He's still the God who saves. Amen? Does anybody believe that in here tonight? I would that everybody stand. I'm going to do something different in here tonight. As I was in sermon prep, I felt like I need to do something different.
I stand before you unrestrained. I stand before
Over the course of this revival, I've noticed a trend. I've noticed that every single night, there's been a resistance to the altar service. But once someone finally came, it opened up and more people came. Tonight, I'm going to challenge somebody to be bold. I'm going to challenge you to stand up and to set the tone. We're not going to bow our heads and close our eyes tonight, because I'm here to tell somebody tonight that if you won't stand for Christ in here, you won't stand for Christ out there. Amen? So if God has spoken to you through this message, whether you're ready to make the commitment or the recommitment to Christ, whether you need deliverance, whether you need healing, or whether you just would like prayer or something else like that, I'm going to ask you to come forward and form a line. We're going to have some of the prayer team members to come up and help us pray. But I want to pray with each person individually.